So now we have Peter Harley. Good morning, Peter Harley.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we this morning?
Morning, Peter. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Good. I'm just on my way up to Morwell, driving towards Blue Sky, which I'm very thankful for.
Yes, it's such a big day for the VFL and the TFA partnership. It really does kick off down there in Morwell. Big opportunity to the VFL to showcase itself, and you probably couldn't ask for two better teams, being the Roosters and the Casey Scorpions, both in pretty tip-top form.
No, it's worked out really well. As you know, we came to the range of this partnership early in this year, and we'll make at least one, if not two, of these sort of games around regional Victoria every year. So this is a bit of a test case for us to try it out. As you can imagine, it was interesting trying to, you know, we're bringing one team from one side of the state to the other. Just depends on the draw and those sort of things. But next year we'll be looking at our fixtures and try and make it a little bit easier to sort of hold. I mean, for example, we were also looking at perhaps Geelong and Sandy coming up, but Geelong's got their big night on tonight. But as it's turned out, it'll be fantastic because North Ballarat will be looking to, or both of them, looking for that double chance.
Well, definitely. And, I mean, it's probably the biggest trip in VFL football for the Roosters, but they don't mind travelling and they're a very professional outfit. And
I've got to say that. I've got to back that up. In fact, look, if you look at all our clubs, they're very accommodating. They understand that we're where the competition is, and we have to do as much as we can, you know, for the public and the public profile, to take it out to the community to continue the growth we've had in this competition. And we really appreciate the support of North Ballarat and Casey, who really are losing a home game today and taking everything up to Morwell.
Well, I mean, the Casey Scorpions shouldn't complain too much. I think it's the fifth time in seven matches they've been on the ABC, so they're really spreading their message quite well. And it is the message of...
Well, they've almost got the makeup artists in the change rooms these days just to make sure they're all looking good.
Yeah, I know, and Phil Cleary must be really getting up close and personal with Peter German. We asked Peter about their relationship, and he said it's never been stronger. So, yeah, it's...
yeah, that's right.
are the Casey players on the ABC payroll yet?
I don't know how any relationship can blossom with Phil, but anyway, that's another matter.
But look, it is about the CFA today as much as it is the football going down there. The partnership has just been growing in strength to strength. We, on the launch day down there at Sandringham, we interviewed a couple of the CFA members, and Captain Koala's been out there promoting it. It really has been a very positive move in a season full of positives. I mean, for the time that I've been involved, I don't think I've seen as much exciting football and so much interest in the way the VFL can finish up this year.
Oh, look, there's really only two sides that can't make the finals.
Yep.
So it is a great side. I think over the years we've gradually chipped away. I mean, we're operating in a difficult marketplace, difficult in the sense that, you know, we've got 10 AFL clubs to operate against, but.
But I know that's been a reason for where the VFL stands, Peter. But in the last 6 weeks, we are seeing a genuine march of support from the crowds and the Melbourne public actually getting out to the VFL. I don't know if you're keeping numbers or what the percentages are for crowds going through, but there have been bigger crowds at the VFL football this year than ever before.
Oh, certainly the crowds are going up. I suppose, you know, we'd love to see, you know, our average has probably gone up about 500.
Yeah.
Which is, when you talk about our crowds, is a pretty reasonable move. But, you know, we'd love to go that, you know, to get our regular weekly crowd at 3,000 to 4,000 people. And, you know, I mean, you'd agree with me, the football's worth it. It is great football, but it's sort of like the best-kept secret for the last 125 years. But anyway, we're pleased with the way it's going, and we've got to do everything we can with support from people like yourselves to keep on plugging it up. And we're certainly not giving up. We're doing everything we can to just be that little bit different, be that little bit unique, to try and do something a bit different to get the people involved, particularly families, which is really our key hit. You know, to bring the kids down for a kick, and mum and dad and everything's, apart from the great entertainment and recreation, that sort of thing, it's only going to cost you $20. I mean, you know, it's pretty good value entertainment.
Well, Peter, I think it goes a little bit deeper. I think the AFL media and a lot of these personalities really need to start acknowledging competition for what it is. And it's no longer a reserves-based competition. It is the VFL, and it needs to be promoted that way. If we can get some of those power brokers and heavyweights that do broadcast the AFL in the saturated Melbourne market, if they could just turn and just stop calling it reserves and calling it the VFL and promoting it for what it is, would see this competition really, really grow.
You know, it's interesting you make that comment, and I agree with you, but it's sort of, we work very hard on that, and still do, by the way, but it started to get very, very, you know, a lot better. Then all of a sudden, the last 12 months, it just seemed to have snuck in again, and we've got to get on our, you know, on our bandwagon and jump up and down again, which we always do. Whenever we hear it, just finishing off that, yeah. That's sort of the branding we're talking about. The AFL's the AFL, the VFL's the VFL. There's no reserves. The reserves were disbanded 10 years ago. Let's get on with it and start pushing it. And you are right that we get a player interview who should know better that's come through. In fact, a number of them come through playing in the VFL, end up saying playing in the twos or the seconds of the reserves. Now, we don't want that. And we're working pretty hard. And the general press are going okay in terms of the way they handle it, which at least we've got that one okay.
Well, before we let you go this morning, I want to talk about the VFL grand final promotion. It's everywhere in the records. I haven't noticed you can go buy it at Ticketek or Ticketmaster this year. Is it all through the AFL Victoria website?
No, it'll be Ticketek.
Ticketek.
We've just finalised with Etihad Stadium yesterday, actually, in exactly how we're approaching that. We've dropped the price back down to $20 from $25.
Yep.
That's for a reasonable amount of entertainment, that one. That's a POC grand final and our grand final.
Great night.
We're starting it a bit earlier. We're looking to start the VFL Grand Final at 7:20 instead of 20 to 8.
Okay.
And we're not having such a big gap between the TAC and the VFL, so we're sort of, if you like, truncating the whole program. So
absolutely fantastic.
You know, there's a second. We learned a lot last year. It was our first time, and just on that, we have to make this year work. I mean, this is our last chance of trying to get a crowd, because we just can't. You can imagine the costs that we've got to pay to get somewhere like Etihad Stadium.
Well,
we just need to cover the cost. So we need 15,000 to 20,000 people to make us even consider keeping on with something we want to keep on with, because we think if we can make it an iconic event of grand final, we're going to be fantastic.
But was 2008 a failure in terms of that? I thought we had a pretty good crowd out there and a wonderful atmosphere. And
I have no doubt about the atmosphere was fantastic, and I wouldn't call it time, but we only had a little over 12 to 13,000
okay.
people.
Yeah.
Now, for a whole lot of reasons, not the least is financial. The other one is what it looks like on TV or this sort of thing.
Yeah.
We need to get to 15. It's not much more to make it to 15 to 20,000, which is still, if you think...
You got 13,000 for a partially aligned team like North Ballarat coming from the country and Port Melbourne. Now, a lot of that Port Melbourne supporter base are your older generation sort of supporter base. A lot of them would have stayed at home and actually watched it on telly. If you get a team like the KC Scorpions and Williamstown going at it come grand final night, you can expect a lot bigger crowd, I'd imagine.
Yeah, look, understand that. We've got to do a lot of work to, and you mentioned before, to get with the AFL clubs. See, the thing about that week, as we all know, everyone's hyped up about footy.
Yeah.
And we've got to make it part of that hype so that people working in town before they go home want a night out, want to have the start. In fact, our theme about this year is the grand final starts on Friday night.
Yep, great.
Which is what we're trying to do. You know, we want people involved so we can make it that, you know, a little bit like the, we try to reroute the AFL parade through Etihad Stadium, but they wouldn't be in that one. But trying to really make it part and parcel of the AFL Grand Final week. Because we can't hit them head on, you know.
Yeah.
And when I mean them, I think the AFL's fantastic, obviously, but we can't fight them. We have to go with them and use them as much as we can.
Well, Peter, thank you so much for giving up your time on Saturday morning. I wanted to get in contact with you on the way down the mall. Well, it deserves the promotion. It's going to be a fantastic initiative by AFL Victoria, the VFL, and also the CFA. Wish you all the best. It's been a fantastic season up to date. I'm sure I'll speak to you before the finals kick off.
Yeah, but any time, and... you blokes have been getting a big head. I've been thanking you so much, but we really appreciate what you do for VFL footy and footy in general. So thanks very much.
Peter, have a great afternoon down there at Morwell, and hopefully you see a cracking game of football between the Scorpions and the Roosters.
Thanks a lot. Catch you, boys.
Peter Harley there joining us, the marketing manager from AFL Victoria. I'll take a small breath, and we'll take on our next guest who's been patiently waiting for us on the line, and we do thank him for giving up his time on match day with such an important game facing the Northern Bull Ants. It's our final guest on the Saturday morning program, David Teague.
And how are you going?
Yeah, morning to welcome to the program there, Teague. We've had a comedy of errors in here this morning. I wasn't sure if you're on air, but welcome to the Saturday morning program.
Thanks a lot.
I'll start off with the big win last night. That must just really be putting the confidence running right through the Blues. Comprehensive victory. Plenty of Northern Bulldogs players who have been there the last few weeks, stepping up under the pressure of what you could sort of call finals football. Big win by the Carlton Football Club.
It was. We probably haven't been playing our best football, but we've been getting away with wins. So that's a great sign. That's what good teams are able to do. But last night, probably our two best games of the year against St Kilda, even though we lost, and Geelong. The boys put it together, and it's great to see some of the players that have come back for a couple of games get their opportunity again and playing some really good senior football.
I think I was just going through just some of the players that were having an impact there last night, and thinking of the game this afternoon, and just thinking about some of that experience going up and playing some pretty good football. I mean, you've had the access to Wiggins, and Hadley was playing in his senior lineup last night. Does that put a confidence to some of the younger Northern Bulldogs players coming through that if they continue good form and continuing doing the team things, that there might be a chance of finding that final 22 spot in the senior lineup?
I hope so. That's probably been the most pleasing thing each week, even. A couple other guys you mentioned there, but Jordan Russell came back for a couple of weeks. He's gone up and played excellent footy. So it's more credit to the players. They've used the opportunity to come back, get some confidence, get their hands on the footy, and they've taken that into senior level. So it should give all the players some confidence that if they get their opportunity, the players that they'd been playing with have been able to do it. So hopefully they could do the same thing.
Well, Teague, you're involved with Carlton, obviously, but you know, you've got the senior coaching role at the Bull Ants. Having that ability to harness a flexible sort of lineup at VFL level must be one of the key things to keeping momentum going for the Bull Ants.
It is, and it's a tough, particularly this week. We play Port Melbourne, and we've got a 12-10 situation, and we had a young player in Dave Allard who could possibly be leading our best and fairest that misses out on a game. Because of other players that have played senior footy recently. So it's definitely hard on certain individuals and picking a team, but we've got a lot of depth, a lot of similar ability players, which is really good because when one player goes up, generally the player that comes back can fill the void for them. And probably our strength this year has been our evenness, even from the Northern Bulldogs listed players. I think they've all we haven't gone out and recruited too many apart from Jason Saddington and Jared McCorkle, but the other players that we've had the last couple of years have really stepped up and developing nicely.
Well, that's been one thing that we've spoken about during the season is having that ability for some of the Northern Bulldogs listed players to, when they're called upon, really have an impact at senior level. You've really done that so far in season 2009. You mentioned some of the bigger names in Sannington and Jared McCorkle, the former Rooster, but I've been really impressed with Luke Morgan. He seems to really be given a role in that half-back line and add some support to Iacobucci and Jan Fagner when he's up and firing. But Luke Morgan, to me, is just a ball magnet and uses the ball so well. Where do you see him and his development as a senior footballer?
Yeah, no, he's spot on. He's obviously second year out of TAC, and often it's tough. He got 13 games in his first year, which was a great effort. But he's played all year this year, apart from the first couple of games when he was out with injury. He trained the house down over the pre-season. He's probably one of our best trainers and was a bit unlucky to get a groin just before the season started. But he has a great ability to get to the spot to receive the football. And like you said, his skills aren't too bad. He probably has to continue to develop his kicking and his penetration and his kicks. But he's been a great find for the club. And hopefully a few talent scouts, recruiters out there might be having a look at him.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. I know a couple of AFL recruiters, and they were trying some names from the VFL, and I put Luke's name in front of them. I think I've been really impressed by his efforts and doing the team things, and as you mentioned, his disposal is starting to improve. Do you see Luke Morgan as a possible player to follow in the footsteps of maybe a Liam Picken and really add some bite to that that Carlton defence? But Carlton have so many mid-sized small defenders that Luke Morgan might find it hard to find a place there, but maybe in another AFL club?
Yeah, you're spot on, and that's the great thing about the VFL, and with the Gold Coast and Sydney coming in, we had the Northern Knights down for training the other night, and a couple of recruiters came in and spoke to the Northern Knights, and they're talking about how they're sending extra resources to the VFL, so hopefully other clubs are watching Luke, obviously with Stephen Brown, Dennis Armfield, Darren Pfeiffer has come back playing down back. We do have a lot of, Joe Anderson, we do have a lot of mid-sized defenders. But hopefully if he continues playing well and similar to a Sam Mitchell. He just kept playing well year after year, that hopefully one day he'll get an opportunity, and if not, he'll never die wondering, because he gives his all. He's very smart, and he works really hard, so he knows that at the end of the day he's given everything he can.
Now, Carlton supporters tuning into the program this morning have been licking their lips about the promise of Robbie Warnock getting himself fit and maybe slotting into the senior lineup come finals time. I can't believe the dramatic change in him. His whole physical size has changed about Robbie Warnock. We mentioned he's been eating the weights, but he's really changed his whole physical structure. He's a big unit. We saw him against the Bendigo Bombers. He didn't really have an impact and just got a bit of a run and then spent the second half in the showers. Where do you see his development, and how far away is he from cementing a spot at the Bull Ants senior lineup and then going through and playing for Carlton?
Yeah, well, like you said at the start, he's put on 8 kilos.
Yeah.
That's a lot of weight for anyone. Obviously, with his frame, it probably doesn't look as much as a little fellow put on 8 kilos, but that's all muscle too. They do these DEXA scans, so he's put 8 kilos of muscle on. He's quite strong. Like you said, the Bendigo game was just about getting out there and having a run around. Last week, he started to get his hands on the ball a little bit, still had limited game time. At this stage, he's still just a progression. Whether he plays seniors or not this year will depend on his form, but I think he's still probably a couple of games away, at least with the Bull Ants, before he'd come under consideration. But you never know. Big men can go in and sort of play 50% of game time without too much worry. If you're small, you need to play probably about 80%, but Ruckman can rotate off the bench. So his fitness is probably not as big an issue as just getting his touch and his feel for the game.
Big game for the Bull Ants this weekend, taking on Port Melbourne, who haven't lost a game at home under the reign of Gary Ayres. Big lineup. They go have some big bodies with the DeLuca boys and everything like that. But having a look at your matchups, Shane Neaves and Adam Hartlett, two big-bodied defenders, and Neaves has been absolutely outstanding playing away from the ruck this year. Those two players could really counteract some of their prominent forwards.
Yeah, we're lucky at the moment. Had we played them probably about 6 weeks ago, we would have struggled for height. But with Sam Jacobs, Robbie Warnock taking over the rucking duties, and Sam Jacobs is probably one of the best ruckmen to play in the VFL. His ball control in the ruck taps is excellent. We've been able to release Neasy down back, and he said he played a little bit there, and he loves the challenge. So he did a very good job on Rocker last week, and this week he'll probably get one of the talls down there, whether it's McLaren or Bonadio if he comes back in, or one of the DeLucas. But he'll play down there, and we might even throw him forward at some stage to try and stretch their defence, because we do have a bit of height in our team this week.
The Bull Ants used the ball so well off the half-back line, and you put some of your more experienced players back there in Iacobucci, and been impressed by Brown when he goes to the football. Is that where you're going to try and win the game today, try and rebound the ball off the back line and get it inside the forward line quickly? Because at Tiak Oval, you can move the ball so quickly between the centre lines that it's only one or two quick kicks and you're inside forward 50.
Yeah, no doubt about that. We've probably got major focuses on clearances this week. If we can win the clearances, like you said, you can get the ball into your forward line without them getting their numbers back. So half-back, yeah, if it gets to there, we'll definitely try and rebound and counter-attack off there. But this week, obviously, Port Melbourne at home, it's a tough challenge, and it's a great challenge for our boys. We've sort of stepped up to the challenge most weeks against the top few teams, so hopefully the boys will do that again.
You mentioned that some of the Knights players came down and had a training session with the Bull Ants. One player I see listed here in the squad is Woods. Will he be used as the 23rd player, and what can you tell us about his development in season 2009?
Yes, he'll be used as the 23rd player. We haven't had too many Knights boys. They've had a few injuries and a couple of other issues going on. So this is our first week we've got to use one out of the under-18 system. He's a lightning-quick midfield forward. He leads the TAC for contested possessions, apparently, and he'll be played through our midfield and forward line, and just give him an opportunity to play at the higher level. He trained really well with us this week, and it's a great opportunity for him. Hopefully he enjoys the experience.
Tigi, two players I don't see in the lineup here and up there, because I didn't see the game last weekend. Jason Sannington and McCorkle, are they both injured or...?
Yes, Jared hurt his hamstring. Not too bad. We'll probably play next week, if not the week after. Obviously we've got a fair bit of depth at the moment with the Carlton list for next week. But Jason Saddington broke a bone in his foot. He trained last night. We won't rush him back at the moment, but obviously 12-10 in the finals. They'll be two very important players. They're probably in the top top sort of echelon in the VFL in terms of ability, so they'll be great inclusions to come back. But having those two out against Port Melbourne only gives two new guys. We've got Dave Adams, who's making his debut, played footy, I think, for Mafra last year and came down for uni, and he's making his debut, so it'll be a great opportunity for him. And it gives another player in Sean Austin a game. He's probably played about five games, and I really rate him. His hardness and his attack on the ball is really good, and he's a player that I'll definitely be pushing to Carlton to maybe give a pre-season.
Well, one player that I was really impressed with in the game against Bendigo was Cameron Cloak. It was one of the first performances I've seen him actually really take a game apart. He was on the lead, he was crashing packs and doing some really good things. Where do you see him at as a footballer going forward for the rest of season 2009? And just how important is Cameron Cloak's influence on the Northern Bull Ants?
He's been playing great footy. He's been on the borderline for selection at Carlton the past 4 weeks.
Yep.
He's probably been a bit unlucky, but he's not only kicking goals and taking some great marks, his leadership down at the Bull Ants is excellent. He's got a great football brain, and his voice, communication with the young fellas, with Jeff Gartland and Chris Yaron down there, he's really good for them, and he plays an important role in our defensive structure as well. Even though they're forwards, we ask a lot of them to roll down and cover, and he does that as well as anyone. And he's probably been a bit unlucky not to get a game, but the way he comes up each week, he gets his mindset right and his attitude's been excellent. And there's nothing better than having a big, powerful forward down there that you can just kick the ball long to if you're under the pump.
Just how important is finishing in the top four? The Bull Ants run home. You play the Borough this afternoon. You've got Geelong, Coburg and Frankston in the last round. Well, Frankston, you nearly tick as a win, but Geelong and Coburg will both be battling for those final eight positions. Have you put it to the boys to try and finish in the top four, or just finish off the season with some really good momentum?
Obviously, you'd love to finish top four, and I think all the players are aware of where we are on the ladder and the position of the clubs around us. It's probably one of those things, I know every coach says, that you can't really control. And if we can win this week, it'll give us a great opportunity. But it's sort of a game-by-game thing, and it's a bit of a cop-out. But we'd love to finish top four, but we also come up against, like you said, Port Melbourne at home, quality team. And then we also, we've got Geelong and Coburg, who we lost to earlier in the year. So we've got a tough run home, so we just want to keep playing the way we are. We have been playing in the last 4 or 5 weeks, and if we continue to do that, I think we're a good chance to finish top four if we can keep the form we've had lately.
David, thank you so much for giving up your time this morning. I know we've called you about 2 or 3 times. Really appreciate you giving up your time to join us here on the Saturday morning program. Big chance for the Northern Bull Ants. Out of the teams I've seen this year, I think if you don't finish in the top four, you'll be the only team for the leaders to worry about, because your form at its best has been right up there with the top two teams. So I think it's going to be an interesting run for the finals, and will shape up this afternoon against the Borough. I think you're a big chance of knocking off the Port Melbourne side at home.
Cheers. Thanks a lot, guys.
David Teague there from the Northern Bull Ants joining us on the Saturday morning program. Yeah, we thank Simon Atkins, just heard David Teague, and Peter Harley from AFL Victoria joining us on the program. Big thank you to Bryce Eyeshold, who's been running in and out of the studio all morning.
We've got an extra 5 minutes if you want it.
Oh, no.
Bryce is on the phone.
No, well, what we'll do, we'll go and listen to the final few moments of the big game from ABD Group Stadium once again. Fantastic finish, as we mentioned. Haven't seen or broadcast a game finishing like that in my time here at KC Radio and my 25 years of watching football. Sam Earl's kick, as the siren goes, what a fantastic finish at ABD Group Stadium. So he takes his time, second bounce, third bounce. He's about to be run down from behind by Peterson. Oh, he got it over to Rayson. Now they're in trouble. They're tied along the pocket. He has to kick it up to a contest.
Well,
Clark
played.
Used his body very well against his opponent there in Keel. So Clark just slaps it forward as well, looking for Gilligan, who takes the mark.
Great experience.
There's no one inside forward 50, so Gilligan just has to hold it. He's kicked it up.
That's a bad kick.
The only one there back at home was Campbell. He should have gone for a contest. So Campbell looking to get the ball on quickly. Uze in space. Mark's on the half back line.
In the centre here.
And that's where he's gone towards Mustin. Kerno in support. Decides to use Isles instead. Isles gets the 50. There's a shot on goal. There's the shot.
Oh, he
won the game. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Isles had a shot on goal in air, the ball, the siren went, the vacant goal square, and they've won the game. There's arguing going on the goal line. Will the goal be paid? Hang on.
Paid.
Did he kick
he's
it before the siren
it.
Went?
Kane, he's got to pay it.
We have to wait, Nick. The players are in conjecture here. Matthew Brown with the final decision.
He kicked the 3 minutes.
We just have to wait.
Went.
They're still talking about it.
It's a goal.
The umpires have agreed on it. We'll just wait for the final decision here.
It's a goal.
Can they win by 5 points, the Boxall Hawks? The umpire's there. They're jumping around the Boxall Hawks. It's a goal. And can you believe it here at ABD Group Stadium? I have never seen a decision made after the siren. The shot on goal, the siren went. Isles, from 50 metres out, has won Boxall the game.
Make sure you tune in for First Bounce Saturday afternoon football this afternoon, live from 1 o'clock. We'll be back to TAC Oval, the home of the VFL, Port Melbourne versus the Northern Bull Ants. And Secondary Bounce Sunday afternoon football will see us broadcasting once again at the big game between Collingwood and Werribee. So, such a fascinating weekend of football. If you can't get there, make sure you tune into the ABC this afternoon from 1 o'clock and then tune into 3SER 97.7 FM or on the web at 3ser.org.au, or you can find a link at vflfooty.com. Just press the 97.7 action and you can listen to all the broadcasts live this afternoon. Get out there and enjoy the football. Tune in from 1 o'clock Saturday morning, Saturday first bounce and secondary bounce Sunday from 1 o'clock. Big games this weekend. See you at the football.